Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This is August the 17th, 1996. We've been at it a while, and I guess we got a little ways to go. But it sure is nice to see the family around here. I suppose there's some reading to do and some things like that. Maybe so we can get things settled down, I'll start off by doing the reading.
Well, let's wait. Let's wait just a minute.
Waiting is the thing I do the very best.
I'm here, but so is she. Impudence. Why can't you manage your own meeting so that I can have a party? So we won't argue in public. It is all family. And I am Hatton. And I do come in light. I ask that we might meet just a little bit early so that we can do some of the things that are mandatory to make this a reasonable, logical gathering. Any time that anyone refers to this family as either one of those families or one of those cults, stop them. Stop them. There is a whole brotherhood of righteousness, enlightened beings. And we have devoted the first 10 years. We will start on year 10 today. The New World Order puts its push in to collect you into the noose in 1996. So it's a big year. Plan 2000 is planned for year 2001 to be totally operational. I don't like that plan. And God has a plan 2000 also. And we need to talk about a few of those things first. And we're going to call this an annual Board of Directors, Board of Advisors meeting. And so welcome to the Board of Advisors, all of you who are here. You have just been appointed. So if Nora needs you to sign something, then please do so. We always hear about it in court. But to validify such a meeting, we need to do business. And I believe that Gene Dixon has written a short synopsis on the Ecker case because there was a great misperception that somehow the Eckers lost. The trial never came off. There were some motions in limine to limit this and this and this, and of course Mr. Horn wanted to limit the fact that there was no sale. Well, that was the case. So it has only been postponed, but Gene has written, and we should publish for all of your family members out there who follow this. And so if Gene would read that onto the record, then we can turn to USNP's Dr. Okilo. And then every time that little crow, when he later speaks, says something that you've already heard today, you can say, aho. It's sort of like hallelujah. Dr. Okilo is from South Africa, Nigeria, the River State. He was the governor of the River State of Nigeria. And he is now president of the University of Science and Philosophy. And all those things you've heard about disruptions and arguments and things like that, forget it. We are making unity wherever we meet anymore. So does anybody have any business to take before the board? Or shall we just move on and get it cleared out? Read, Gene.
Gene's voice has changed because Gene doesn't have his glasses.
I see.
I came to relax and learn this morning.
To all interested parties, in the matter of Doris and E.J. Ecker versus Larry Mitchell et al., that is the Hess case, because more than several persons have approached me and commented on the, quote, fact that the Eckers had lost their lawsuit or been defeated very badly in court, et cetera, and none of this is true. I was assisting Mr. Brad Ellie and was a precipitant witness to the events that happened at trial during those days, August 5th and 6th, and it is not true that the Eckers lost their case. And as the facts are unfolding, they may come out of it in better shape now because of the delay. Delay is not always bad, even after 8 years. This is what happened. Prior to trial, the matter, the case, was transferred from Judge Wallace to Judge Chapin. The only explanation rumored is that Judge Wallace elected to take two court trials, and the Ecker case was transferred to Judge Chapin. If Judge Wallace was given a choice, I would find it difficult to believe that he would let go of this case that he had known so well for so many years. Mr. Ellie had prepared well for trial, was extremely focused on the issues, and all pre-trial work was out of the way, and he had settled in locally for the trial. At the last moment, Mr. Horn basically resubmitted a motion entitled Motion in Limine for the purpose of denying the Eckers the opportunity to present any evidence of a non-sale. And this was their entire case. Mr. Ellie was not concerned about this motion because the identical motion, under a different name, had been made on the same factual circumstances previously before Judge Wallace. And Judge Wallace denied it. There was little thought that this new judge would make a different ruling. However, in pretrial arguments that carried over until mid-morning of the next day, the judge announced that on his own he had gone beyond the motion as filed by Mr. Horn and dug out all of the many volumes of the house case file, not, quote, caught, end quote, by anyone, and not raised by Mr. Horn. That defect being that when Mr. Tipps, former attorney, negotiated a settlement with the RTC and Santa Barbara Savings and Loan, that Mr. Tipps had wrongly and unknowingly disposed of the house case. Brad Ellery, present attorney, argued strenuously that this was not likely, as the written agreement of dismissal expressly reserved the right of the Eckers to continue with the house case. The judge was undeterred and made his ruling adverse to the Eckers. Mr. Ellery then negotiated a continuance of the execution of the court's order until November 96, and paved the way for the Eckers to file a writ of certiorari, or whatever appropriate document Mr. Ellie decides to file, which will be filed as soon as possible. I am happy to say that preliminary research done for the writ has been fruitful and rewarding, and the Eckers and Mr. Ellie are even better prepared. Technically, a trial never started. By law, a trial starts when the first witness is sworn to testify. This was just another battle, not the war, and as the saying goes, when you go to court with the Eckers, expect the unexpected and the unusual. Hopefully, someday soon, they will have their day in court. In the meantime, Mr. Ellie has a major court appearance before Judge Gibbons on August 21st of this year, and let's hope that truth and justice will prevail this time. Gene.
Thank you. I don't want Gene to think that I'm careless or lackadaisical about these cases, because I want the attorneys to be pushing as hard as they can. But there's a lot of stuff to be learned along the way, and whoever is going to head this Constitutional Law Center and have the attorney crew that needs to not just head it, but fulfill the jobs have got to be sharper than the shrewd ones in opposition. And when I say shrewd, those gentlemen have learned that they can manipulate the court. And the reason that you have been getting so much from Ray Bilger on the American way and the jurisprudence system is because you need to understand the magnitude of this case. You've come 8 years with just this case, but on August 17th, 1987, was Dorma's first introduction to me. Now, Al would have to give us a count. I think we're like up to 178 journals. That's a lot of writing. It's a lot of information. No matter how you cut it or who does it or how it's done, that is a lot of information in this very, very short period of time. What are we talking about? 13, 14, 15 books a year? And it's important because these gentlemen have had to face everything the opposition can throw at them, even to the ones in Nevada going over everybody's head and asking to file a brief in the Supreme Court of the United States with someone that Abbott and Horton already knew personally, Sandra Day O'Connor. She sends them back acknowledgement, giving them 30 days to file a paper. But they neither asked for a stay, nor did they grant a stay. And these are games. And this is what's wrong with your system. When you have this type of legal system, my, it just brings out the worst in everybody, doesn't it? And you tangle up a little bit of money with that, and it all goes absolutely skyrocketing off in every direction. Well, each one tries to get their hands on it. And I believe that Mr. Ely is doing a good job. And I think that Gene and Ely will get some more help because the judge said Mr. Tipps did in this case. Well, Mr. Tipps didn't do in the case, but Mr. Tipps now lives in France, and Mr. Horn could play his game in the absence of Tipps and expect it to get pushed right through court and never have to even face the consequences of what he did. Well, it isn't going to work. So whether you win or lose, you cannot even evaluate winning or losing in these situations and circumstances. These are sorting mechanisms because once we have project funding, and we'll talk about that in a minute, things are going to start happening rapidly. And we're going to have to move with it, not continue the dregs of a system. And yet it will always be that they will come against you with these absurdities. Total absurdities. And when all of the funds are gone, only then will they go away. After they have stripped everyone of whatever they have that they can get, then they will go away. Only then. And after they have done that, they will very often get a judgment against you. Consider it a blessing, because if you handle your business affairs properly, you will see the merit of never having anything. And yet we can't get our mission done if we don't have anything. So I will tell you just a little bit. EJ's daughter will be able or was able to funnel some of those magnificently large packages to Mr. Dole, General Powell, Mr. Kemp, And we'll pause right there to let you know that Bob Turner, our friendly farmer from around here, and one reason that we need him so badly, is he played football with Mr. Kemp. He was a Charger. Bob Turner was a professional football player before he settled in to doing this, and Mr. Kemp was his quarterback. So they know each other well. And Mr. Turner can pick up the telephone and call Mr. Kemp and say, hey, look at this. This is not phony. And, sir, we can turn this nation around. You will note that in calling the debt, bringing it forward, there is enough to bail out the world because it has so much value, this certificate, this contract. In its overall, the way the politicians proved it up, took a lot of murder to do it, but they did it. And Mr. Bush, Mr. Benson, Ollie North, quite a few, even went to visit. Mr. Herman finally killed him, and they still didn't get all the signatures. B.K. Durham holds the final word, but she has now shifted off onto basically, and I certainly appreciate the support that I'm not going to mention names here about this, have given her to help her so that she can take her measures because she is not well either. But we'll go back now to South Africa. We do know someone now by the name of Magnus Penny, who is with all sort of, you know, the bunch that meets with Carol Pfaff and Ann Forbes. And Mr. Penny knows just about everybody who's anybody, like Nikki Oppenheimer and the Rothschilds and very, very wealthy people in China, head of the Bank of Athens, and one we're dealing with right now by the name of Liebenberg, who is one of the richest men in the world. And he wants to know, well, why should he bother to, why do we need their money? We don't need their money. We need the money out of the Treasury or the World Bank. But you've got to have someone with guts enough, strength enough, and funding enough to go in there and push it through. Or you will get exactly what happened with the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco day before yesterday. They sent the package back because we covered everything, right up through the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. In case a bankrupt the United States, it falls to the Federal Reserve. When it falls to the Federal Reserve, you've got to cover it in your district, in New York, and so forth. So the claims have now been made against these various entities, and the Federal Reserve, bunch of lawyers in San Francisco, are the only ones that wrote back, and it was a scathing letter, which we should have brought to share. And any further correspondence on this will not even be acknowledged. This is absolutely outrageous, and even if it were real, what would we have to do with it? From the head of the Judicial Department. Well, it's their district that is important. Because aren't we all in this district? Grandma's in another one. So you have to go to all of them. And then most especially, we've gone to Rabobank in the Netherlands because it is our filtered understanding, and it's valid, that the United States has been in bankruptcy since 1933, so what else is new? But within the last 3 years, it was officially stated, and I believe Mr. Gingrich might have been the one who finally said it out loud, We're bankrupt. We are in bankruptcy. Well, when Barings Bank, thanks to Mr. Bush, who had pulled funds out of this very same certificate, which validifies that certificate, in case anybody's interested, he used that money, and he was drawing down $2.4 billion from these various banks. Now, why would he pick that amount? Because they moved forward with increments. And they were doing this until Russell Herrmann found out what they were doing, and they were buying arms with this money. Now, I'm going to put this on the record for any of you clean-minded people. How were they managing it? They were using that certificate to bring forth and utilize legally the drug money that the CIA was running. Put it into BCCI in cash. You've got a nice, clean, legal document here worth billions, billions, trillions of dollars. So you assign by contract so much, $2.4 billion. Then you can push out all of this drug cash through that. Well, the one thing, you see, Russell Herrmann had been all over this world in the service of George Bush. So there's no point in saying, oh, well, Russell was such a good man. But he saw, and he said, there is only one thing I will not do, and that is I will not allow you to use this certificate for war. And when he found out they were funneling these massive amounts of money into buying weapons through the Agricultural Department yet of the United States of America, he said, no way. We better talk about this. So when he started talking about it, he found that Mr. Bush and his cronies had gone in and stolen his corporation. This is why corporation management is so incredibly important. They had even named this, with Mr. Bush's help, Cosmos Seafood Energy. Blah, 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 blah. Who in the world would ever come up with anything similar to that? You know, it's a little easier to come up with Constitutional Law Center Trust when you've got a Constitutional Law Center Incorporated. But this was ridiculous. But what the politicians had done was go into Del Papa, who was Secretary of State in the state of Nevada, and they said, no, that's our corporation. It was always our corporation. And look, we have a copy of these certificates and things. Well, they didn't have the original. They had a copy, okay. And so when Russell Herrmann started looking into the situation, he found the whole corporation had been moved. Re-entered, re-designated. Not greatly unlike what was done with some corporations involved here. You can't do it. There are rules and there are regulations for moving a corporation. So when Russell found out this is what they had done, and Mr. Nicolaw, all of you will be really up on the Buckley Greenlight, Nicolaw's Cosmos program. These were all pulling off of the proposed use of that certificate and possibly others, because nobody understood what had happened. You don't go in and get a 44% compound interest for 100 years unless you've got the Secretary of the Treasury, like Lloyd Benson there, to validify it. And so they did all this proving up. And they built this for the New World Order. So when Russell Herrmann pulled it, got his corporation back, took it public, pulled out the certificate, and made it private. He pulled it right out of the corporation. And there it sits, with billions of dollars siphoned off against it. So what happened? They could launder all this money, and it was really a great deal for everybody involved, especially the New World Order, until it came time to produce a certificate, collection day. So with collection day, there was no valid certificate because it had been publicly verified, and they did not have control of it. Now, there have been contacts made directly with Mr. Bush. And so the first response was, well, we don't want to do business at this time. And then the next one was, well, we don't believe we need to do business. So they've been playing their games. And maybe they will win, depends on what everybody else does. But meanwhile, no moss has been growing under Rick and EJ's feet. We just have a whole lot of those out there. And we have complete, circuitous, functioning accounts and corporations to funnel it from anywhere through Greece. They killed Papandreou because he was going to fund it. He's a maverick man. So they killed him and made a deal with the head of the mafia, Lotzis, not to do anything with this. Over the past few years, they pulled down Barings Bank with it, and that went to Roba for processing and receivership. They pulled down Credit Lyonnais in Paris, and to cover their trail, they burnt it to the ground. They took out three major Japanese banks and are working on the fourth one. Well, that doesn't make the Japanese real happy because the Japanese had already said they would fund no more debt of the United States. They could not do it. And so a couple of years ago, they quit buying the bonds. But now they've called the debt because they're in trouble. They're in trouble themselves. Well, I guess we're going to punish Japan. But the thing everybody in this room better hear is that the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, and by the way, Alan Greenspan went right with George Bush and James Baker III and Ollie North to Herman Russell. And then they came back trying to get this signed by V.K. Durham. It's real. Is there anybody in this world daring enough to take it and run with it? Well, you almost hear Dole suggesting he might, don't you? Cut taxes, do this. But what they're also doing is getting ready just to thrust off onto you the New World Order. Because Mr. Bush is fully planning to be the Secretary General of the United Nations. And you've already got, and this will come out in yesterday's writing. We didn't take any time off. Sorry about that for you visitors. We'll do the best we can for everybody, but there's some critical things right now. Russian troops have been seen all over Mexico. You know you've got heavy Russian equipment, Soviet equipment, at the Mexican border, stashed in the salt mines right at the border. You've got Russian troops. Well, look what happened. In 1993, you had a law passed that would allow you to have joint exercises, training exercises with the Russians on U.S. soil. Already you'd been sending even police officers from Tehachapi, California, Kern County, all over, over to Russia to cross-train police officers. And then the Russians came over here. Oh, big, sweet write-ups. Oh, the Cold War is over, and our guys are so superior, they're over here training. Come off it. When the laws were made for the Charter of the United Nations in perpetuity, a Russian would head the military army. And we've listed them for you, up to current. So they're already here. The takeover is at hand. They're not communists. They are just soldiers. They don't have the vaguest idea any more than your guys know what the soup they're doing over here. But it's to bring about the new world order under the United Nations. You can probably get along with them as well as you can get along with your local gendarmes. So let's not panic here. And just in case, I don't want to call it mischief. But there seems like there needs to be somebody willing to get out there and store a little food. But you're not going to be able to do that, are you? Because the new laws say you can't store more than 3 months' supply of food. All the other is subject to confiscation if it's needed. And they don't want you hoarding grain because you're out of grain. And they'll write this in the paper. There will be no hoarding of grain allowed. But they list their grain, and the idiots didn't know how to spell spelta. I'm not sure I do either, but it didn't get on your list. So you're at a crucial, critical time. The political conferences are exactly what they appear to be, a rally. Doesn't really mean anything. But with the backing of an unlimited amount of funding in value, you see, it's in value, it's in gold value. It can pay the debt. It can just wipe out the debt, and it's not a repudiation of debt, it just goes. Because it will be assigned to the treasury of that nice little States of America United. 48% of that document has been set aside for the United States people. But we had to take these contracts and get them done first. And they're big. And we're giving the bankers half of those contracts to get it done. Or whoever gets it done. And you know those Rothschilds need some more money. But they're also big enough that they can use their money, keep that for support, and in the fractional banking system, for goodness sakes, $4.8 billion turns into what? Major, massive amounts of money. Or value. You don't deal in money. Federal Reserve notes are worth nothing. And you're not going to get it done in the United States of America because the Federal Reserve has been just printing money. You come in with a debt against the Treasury and the Federal Reserve prints off a lot of new currency notes. And they're getting ready to shut all that down. But the contract is in gold. You can deal with whatever the legal currency is. But the value is in gold. There isn't that much around. There isn't enough money printed around. But the Federal Reserve could certainly print enough to match and meet some of these contracts, but they've not chosen to do that. They think they're going to stonewall. Well, fine. And they may be able to pull it off, but you as citizens should rise up and not let them do it. And I don't mean rise up with your pop guns. You won't get anywhere. They'll just blow you away. This is the time of serious, serious blowing you away. They don't like me. They don't like the bubble around Tehachapi. You notice they've been trying to blow it away for 2 days. Rattle your window panes. Well, it isn't going to work. They're going to have to get through me to get you. And I don't bend an iota. And for anyone out there who doesn't want to believe that, don't push your luck. Please, I'm tired of these silly games. We've worked for 10 years to get here, and we're here. And now we can manage what we get. We're not in competition with the United States of America or the world. I wouldn't have it. But we have a mission, and you have the tool that could turn your world around. Get control of the money, and you can control the world. Will those that get control of the money be any better than the ones who have control of the money now? Not after a while. You can count on it. And you don't want control of all of it. You want a little bit of it so we can get on and do our job. And we offer projects, beautiful projects, that can be done in South Africa. But you see, South Africa has to face the fact that the wealth comes from this New World Order bunch. And they plan to wipe out the population of the undesirables, you know, the AIDS, the blacks, the whatever you want, whatever they consider undesirable. And they plan to make South Africa a recreational place for the elite. We are now, in case you didn't know, having fun. I know it's been slow in coming.
Dr. Young and Dr. Young are here. Paul Kenyon, Melissa.
Do we have room and everything? We don't. I don't mind if you interrupt. I don't want to waste a single minute after little Crow gets here. So I'm going to back off.
We have a dozen or so seats left.
Okay. It's going to be very hard today.
Yes, we do.
To keep her separated. So we're just going to have to play it through, and tomorrow will be a little easier. She's extremely excited about little Crow's new approach. I would like to introduce him when he gets here, but I want to tell all of you that little Crow has made a major, major step. He has cut all ties with everything and anything, because this is a year he must go forth and bring those oral traditions and take the word out to the people. And it's hard. It's hard when you have been barely making it as it is. So let's be very gracious to Little Crow. And I personally ask that he bring some of his materials, because when he goes into his lecture series, it's going to be a series of like 6 weeks. And he will have tapes, which will be the backup for that series of lectures. And I ask him to bring them so that if any of you want to discuss ordering them or getting them and then having them sent or whatever, you would at least have them here. It's a very, very special day. And this marks, obviously, the new year. And he wanted to come and speak to you on the importance of these dates and on the prophecies that are coming down as we speak. Another relationship that has gotten warmer and warmer and warmer is the one with Chief Okilo of the University of Science and Philosophy. And I want to ask EJ to read the message that, as president, he wrote for his own newsletter. And then you're going to find that around this world, people, the truth is there. And maybe tomorrow, I like to use example, and the way that I can use example is to offer you, as we meet like this, an opportunity to hear together and then sometimes discuss it, such things as Tex Mars' interview with Bo Greitz. And you're going to see that neither one of them have it. Neither one. You've got to get your connection with God. Not some E.T., not some Jesus. Do you hear me? Jesus is simply a name. That Christed energy is what you're looking for. Get your hand in the hand of that man. And if I sound like a preacher, I hope so. And I don't care what you call him. Jesus is a nice name. His name was, however, Emmanuel. And stop biting on this other stuff. If you cannot have, and Tex Mars absolutely accuses face to face Bo Greitz for allowing for Indian experience, spirituality, any other kind of spirituality as being one God. No, it's got to be Jesus. Well, every one of you better understand that the head of the Illuminati, the cornerstone, is waiting for the one they call Jesus, who they call Lucifer. And that's not my business. But the world of the evangelists are waiting for something that is not real. And Jesus has become a reality. So accept that reality of this golden light who bears the Christness. You're not going to have a man be able to die for your troubles and your sin. Your salvation comes with you. There's not going to be this wonderful rapture to the clouds. I'm sorry. Who will you go with? How can you go? So I want to share Okilo's message, please.